Hello, and thank you for joining us for a few inspirational moments and loving conversation with C. Melita Webb. You know, today I wanted to talk about, the trend that we're seeing and, that we're seeing a lot of people dealing with anger, grief, and emotional pain. And they're not doing it in healthy ways. And I'm not sure if it's because of the increased pressure in society or people have just never felt this much animosity or this lost. And so, as I was listening to some of the headlines for the stories that's going on, and listening to people that I communicate with, I was hearing a reoccurring theme of pain, pain that is often hidden deep and not recognized. And as I was listening to their voices, I closed my eyes and just intuitively I could feel, some of the stress in their system. I could hear the tremors in their throat. I can discern the wounds in their words. And, I'm hearing it in younger people, older people, and in some cases the elderly, and it's happening in all ages, all races, and all denominations. We're speaking about a lack of empathy and crime, and really it's just showing that there's a lack of understanding among all of us. And the only time that understanding becomes lessened is when we take the time to talk and communicate about what we're going through, what we're feeling, and what's happening. And talk therapy is healthy. It's one of the healthiest things that we can do for each other. And I think that if we could do that and teach people some other techniques, meditation is often, it's just very powerful. There's a couple that I learned recently in reading a book, one of which was the turtle technique, where you just give yourself 5 minutes to calm down and then look at the situation versus the person. And I think that if we could, get that, into the school systems and into, our daily conversations and encourage people, perhaps they wouldn't feel so alone and desperate, because there's just not any reason for the amount of crime to be rising like it is. I believe the report I saw yesterday was that it had went up 33%, and it's showing us what happens in society when people, can't do what they normally do. They don't have those outlets and they haven't learned the skills. Whereas I think that in other societies, especially places like Sweden, you hear a lot more about how they are doing things like meditation for their kids. They learn it very young in school, if I remember correctly, and I'll confirm that because I don't want to give you any inaccurate information. But I think that if we, start with our kids young and we start showing them ways to handle stress and ways to handle anger, give them the words to speak that empower them to say what they need without being divisive and prejudiced, bigoted. Just give them the healthy words to say, I don't feel well, or I don't like what this person did. Well, how could we resolve that? What way could we handle things so this wouldn't happen again? We can actually set up the next generation so that they can become more loving and understanding if we choose to see that as a priority. And, anyone can pick up a book and learn about ways to help your children, and the ones you love be more communicable, and help them learn how to tell what they need, what they feel. And it only takes a willing heart. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be have a master's in psychology. You just have to have a willing heart and seek out the options that are available. And I think that, you know, the other thing we can do is, you know, as things continue to open up in the areas, is we can actually take children in smaller numbers at the YMCA and Boys and Girls Club and, you know, even in our home, and just talk to them about the options that are out there for, you know, dealing with how they are feeling. And, you know, the other thing I saw was a notice about, I think there was something else I saw. It was a notice where people were actually allowing each other to just be able to, you know, feel what they're feeling. And it was just beautiful to see how people are giving each other the chance to speak. It's just not at the level of how we can actually raise healthier kids. And I think that, you know, we went through that period of a lot of young people who were having children, and, you know, they had some help, but they maybe didn't get the same skills that I'm talking about, where we could actually, you know, help children learn. There are so many ways out here that we can make a difference before it reaches the level that we're seeing now, right? And so, you know, the key is going to be us recreating that village and talking to our children and our grandchildren, and giving them the tools they need so that they could be better people and better citizens, and so that they can live their life in safety. Because it doesn't help anyone when we're seeing this aggression. You know, sometimes you get people who are passive aggressive, and that's a whole other issue. But we're seeing violence that does not need to occur, and it just really, we got to stop it. We got to stop it, because if we don't, we're going to lose a whole society of people, and we've lost so many already. No one wants to walk around feeling like they're not safe in their own skin. No one wants to drive and worry about who's going to walk up to their car. No one wants to be accosted in a park or a beach or in a movie theater or at lunch at a fast food restaurant, or even just a regular quality restaurant, right? And so when we know that something's going on, we cannot afford to be quiet and not speak about it. We can't afford to be quiet. We have to open our mouths. We have to say what it is, and we have to say what the options are too. I think that if we just complain and we don't have any ideas or options, then we are not really, you know, putting forth the effort to really be involved and help. And so if we can, you know, think about those options, you know, how is it that we can help our children learn healthier behaviors? What can we do for our children to realize that there are other options, right? And what can we do with the justice, juvenile justice system? Maybe what we need to do is look at that. Because some of the ones I'm seeing now definitely are teenagers that are doing some of these behaviors. And so, you know, I don't want to say that every teenager is bad. Please don't misunderstand me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm merely saying that we can do better by the kids that we're trying to help by teaching them how to be, how they can actually be safe and still get their point across, how they can be, you know, feel the angers, the issues they have, but not release them in negative ways. We want people to know that they can, you know, say what they feel, they can speak, they can, maybe they draw, they write, they run, you know, we give them some more exercise, we do things so that they understand they don't have to hurt someone that looks like them or doesn't look like them, or someone that's older or younger. We need them to understand that fighting is not the answer. And, you know, therapy journals work really well. You know, we teach children how to write, to give their feelings, how to, maybe they do a play, you know, so they learn theater, theatrical expression. You know, there's just so many ways that we can teach kids to be helpers and not teach them, you know, things that are going to be destructive. You know, we can teach them how to read. We can show them how to you know, do other things that we used to do as kids. I remember my mother sending me to guitar lessons and cooking lessons at, you know, Jefferson Park Community Center, you know, as a kid. That's where I went. And so I don't remember everything about guitar, but when I had children, I made sure my children picked up the guitar and they got lessons. And, you know, we can just make that difference. There's also a lot of kids in foster system. And once those kids age out, they don't have families, right? And so we may think that we don't have enough to help someone. And, you know, sometimes you don't really have to have a lot. You just have to have a loving heart. And that loving heart is enough for you. And so, you know, years ago, you know, churches, when they knew somebody didn't have a place to stay, they would ask their congregation, you know, are you interested in helping this child be raised? Is this something you can do? And so we took it out of, it wasn't in the hand of the society, it was in the hand of the community. And those kids were raised, I would love to think the majority of those kids were raised with love. Now, I do know that some kids were also had issues with that too, but I think that it's the person who, we have to look at, is the person capable of raising healthy kids? Have they already raised healthy kids? You know, and then we need to recruit those people who are successful. I saw an article recently of two people who were almost at retirement age, and they adopted a family, I want to say, of six or seven, where the kids' parents had both demised in a car accident. And so this family said they knew it. When they saw these children, they knew that they were supposed to step in. They felt it. And so even though they were a few years from retiring, they knew they could give these kids love, right? And that's got to be how we look at it. Are we able to give more love? Are we able to make a difference? And if you can't, maybe you can't foster full-time, but maybe what you can do is you can be a lunch buddy, or you can be a grandparent, a surrogate grandparent, you know. I'm thinking of all the things that are opportunities that are here. And I think that we as a community and a society can come up with more options and opportunities. And we can look at what's worked in other nations and see how they have curtailed some of these issues that we're seeing today. And so, you know, I don't want to just have this whole conversation be a bummer, but I do want us all to look at our opportunities to make a difference for the young children out there who maybe don't have the direction that they should have, for whatever reason, whether, you know, their parents are there or not there, whether they're raised by young people who don't know, or maybe their parents are struggling trying to work, or they have no idea their kids are going down the wrong way. It becomes part of the society to step in and say, hey, young brother, young sister, or hey, you know, darling, let me help you. You know, what do you need? There's an association or organization I can recommend for you. You know, we can make a difference. And I believe we need to give everybody a chance until they show us they don't deserve that chance, right? And so, you know, I tend to just help. And once you show me you don't want the help, you don't need the help, or, you know, you're not going to do better or choose to do better, then I let it go. I still pray for you, but I let you go. And sometimes people see once you let them go that they, you know, really did appreciate you being in their life. And so, you know, we can do better and we must do better. You know, I've been seeing these videos, and it's kind of difficult for me because they're just moving really fast, but I'm seeing these attacks, and I'm seeing people who have the opportunity to do something, if it's nothing more than just say, hey, stop what you're doing, or the police have already been called, you know, I heard it on a scanner. Whatever you need to do or say, I think you need to make sure that you're saying that so that people are not being victimized in front of our eyes. We, you know, deserve a better society. And in order to have a better society, we have to get involved. And so, you know, I'm just going to ask you to not put yourself in harm, but to say something, you know, to say something, to make a call. Don't close your door on somebody in need. And don't sit there and allow somebody to be beat, kicked, or hit. And please don't sit around and tape it if you don't intend to stop it. You know, if you haven't done anything to to help these people as they're being victimized, you know, come on, think about it. Because if that was you or your mother, your sister, your brother, you know, your child, you would be doing something. We got to start seeing each other as who we are, a united family. So I just want to call again out for peace. And I want you guys to think about that, because peace is what we need in this instance. And, you know, I've got poetry for that, but I just want you to think. I don't want to give you a poem every time we speak. I want to give you some ideas, and I want to generate thoughts that help us, you know, do better and live better and be better. And so, you know, I'm just going to ask you to look within your heart, you know, say a prayer, make your words known, you know, write an op-ed where you get to, you know, you send a note to the newspaper, you know, and you see if they're willing to take your message, but you get your voice heard, and you call out when you see somebody on in these pictures or videos who are creating these moments of hate and creating injury to the body and the mind, and we stop these triggering reactions. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to think about that, and to find a way that you can make a difference and you can help the next generation. And look out for the old, look out for the sick, look out for the homeless, look out for people who don't have life as good as you, and look out for your neighbors, because they may have life as good as you, but they may not be able to tell you what they're going through. You know, we all deserve the opportunity to live peaceful and to learn better so we can do better. So I'm going to ask you to just, you know, to close your eyes for a moment and to just, you know, take a few cleansing breaths. And to just, you know, take a moment. That breathing that you're doing is freedom. That's freedom that not everybody feels right now. That's freedom that not everybody has a roof over their head, has any idea that they'll find tomorrow, right? That's freedom that the kid who has no food is thinking about when he'll be able to have 3 square meals a day. That's freedom for the parents who are struggling to hold their family together and they don't have a job anymore because of what's going on in society. You know, if someone asks you for something, try to do what you can to help them. If you can't, make some calls, try to get the information they need. You know, pick up a paper, do what you can to find out what's going on in your community that will help these people be able to learn, live, and grow. All right, so as you open your eyes, continue to breathe deeply. Maybe say a silent prayer. You know, connect with God. I believe that we're 2 or more gather in His name, as the Bible says that He hears us. And I don't think God ever turns His ear away. So make a difference. Be the change you want to see. I'm going to wish you a beautiful morning, a wonderful afternoon, and a restful evening of peace. You know, go out and be great. Greatness is within you. Goodbye.